97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning, happy Wednesday. Mark Cox, how you doing this morning?
You know, just working hard for the show is what I'm doing. I'm slaving away at my desk, trying to get the very latest information from my broadcast. But thank you for asking, Kim. How are you?
Yeah, fantastic.
Good, good. So, yeah, welcome back into the show on Wednesday. It's 7:07 a.m., and I'm supposed to be back in here at about 7:06, and I was running late.
Do you want me to read headlines a little slower? I could be like, let's see here. How would
I
read that?
If you could do that, I'll just text you next time. You can drag it out a little bit
more. You guys like to listen to that. That's not annoying at all, is it?
You know why this happened? Because yesterday in our staff meeting, Mark Cox said, I have not missed a break in since I cannot remember.
That's
if you wouldn't
usually,
have put
yeah,
that out
that's
there,
what happens.
Mark.
Yeah,
it
that's probably
happen.
True. That's true.
You put that out to the universe.
It had been a long time since I've walked back in here prior to my music ending. After my music ending.
And today's
but,
your day.
Today was the day. That's okay. Because I was in there working hard. I was listening to a conversation on CNN between Bakari Sellers and a former Vance staffer actually having an argument over whether or not the Ferguson effect was real. And I was fascinated by it because I got this Bakari Sellers dude and the anchor on CNN arguing to him that there's no such thing as the Ferguson effect. It started right here in St. Louis. Of course there's the Ferguson effect. Ask any police officer what the Ferguson effect is. The Ferguson effect is very simple. You don't want to end up like Darren Wilson, who didn't do anything wrong but had his career finished by the race baiters in this country. That's exactly what happened. And to hear them having a 3-minute conversation on CNN about whether or not that was a thing was mind-numbing to me. So it completely distracted me and threw me off my game. And suddenly Ethan says, hey, Mark, your show's starting. I'm like, oh, boy.
Can I get a megaphone?
But you know, we need one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need one. And, you know, the thing is, you never run to a microphone.
Nope.
So I walked rapidly.
Oh, I've learned the hard way
not to do
that.
So that I wouldn't be out of breath when I got in here.
It's worse.
You don't want that. You don't want to be out of breath when you finally do get to the microphone, for sure. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Genevieve Wood from the Heritage Foundation with more on a teacher who got fired for rejecting personal pronouns. A teacher that lost their job because they declined to play the game and call you they, them, or, you know, she, her,
Z-zem.
Or Z-zem. Yeah, I don't know. But this teacher got a little bit of pushback on that, right? A little bit of win, I would say, in court. And we're going to talk to Genevieve about that coming up shortly. Todd Pyro at the bottom of the hour. We'll get to Todd from Fox and Friends first because, of course, the big interview with Brett Baer is tonight. Did we determine exactly what time?
5 o'clock our time.
It's 5 o'clock
yep.
Central time.
Yes.
And so they're taping it at 4:30 Central time, and then they're immediately going to play it back. That's not much.
No, they're taping it 5 to 5:30 their time. Yeah. 5 to 5:30 their
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Right. Okay. So yeah.
Wake up,
and
Kim.
No, that's all right. And then it'll be 5 here when they play it back. So be sure and plan to tune into Fox. Brett Baer's making some pretty big claims. We'll talk about that in a minute. He says there won't be any commercials. They're not going to edit it. What you see is what you get. And maybe it'll be just as entertaining as the Charlemagne the God interview that she did yesterday. All right. First of all, Carl, let's get to the top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
If you can think of the issues that people care about, that they ask pollsters or they answer to pollsters what they care about, those questions are going to be in the mix.
There you go. Brett says we're going to ask the big questions tonight. They've only got 30 minutes. How much word salad can she mix up in the 30-minute interview?
She beat Trump so badly in the debate, he's scared to death to beat her again. That's a fact. Tough guy, right? Tough
that's a
guy.
That's a fact, Jack. He beat her. She beat him so bad, he's afraid to beat her again. Joe, ladies and gentlemen, is toast.
If you listen to the crowd was saying yes.
Yes.
The crowd was saying yes, yes. Mm-hmm. But they're disconnecting from the fact that it is the open water policy of Biden-Harris.
Yeah, lots of reaction yesterday to Bill Clinton basically admitting that the border is horribly broken, and because we're not shielding these people, Americans are dying. He admitted that yesterday.
How about this? Gavin Newsom, he's the governor of California.
Newsom.
He signed Newsom, I call him.
Yeah. Yeah, Donald Trump yesterday having a little bit of fun with the folks from Breitbart. I'm sorry, Bloomberg, not Breitbart. And he had the editor-in-chief on there. And just, he was playing with this guy. You know, this is not some run-of-the-mill reporter that Bloomberg sent up there. They sent their editor-in-chief, some guy named Micklewaite or something like that. I've never heard of him. But he had the British accent, and he was, you know, he was this and he was that, and he basically was debating this guy, and he just schooled him, you know, on tariffs, on so many things. The guy didn't know what to do with him. He brought up the Newsom comment and then said, listen to this, he's trying to correct me. I meant that. Well, if you said that in anywhere else, any other CEO would get fired for saying that about an opponent. He goes, nobody else has been through what I've been through. I do what I do. It's, you know, it's put your big boy pants on and go to work. Listen to some of this.
What is the Wall Street Journal? They've been wrong about everything. So have you, by the way. You're trying to turn this into debate. You've been wrong. You've been wrong all your life on this stuff. We're going to put tariffs on them, and they're going to do. And you know what they can do? The Mercedes-Benz will start building in the United States. And they have a little bit. But you know what they really are? Assembly, like in South Carolina. But they build everything in Germany, and then they assemble it here. They get away with murder because they say, oh, yes, we're building cars. They don't build cars. They take them out of a box and they assemble them. We could have our child do it.
Tariffs also have another side. Isn't that something that you have to acknowledge?
No.
You could be plunging America into the biggest trade war since Smoot-Hawley.
But there are no tariffs.
There are tariffs already at the moment.
No, there are no tariffs. All you have to do is build your plant in the United States and you don't have any tariffs.
But people, a lot of places like...
How about this? Gavin Newsom, he's the governor of California.
Newsom.
He signed Newsom, I call him.
Yeah. He corrected me.
I said, that's the first time I've been corrected.
There are CEOs out here. If they said those sort of things about a rival CEO, they'd be sacked. Do you think it's fine for a president?
But they don't have to survive like me. They don't have to go through what I have to go through. There has never been a president that's been treated like me, so I have to fight my own way.
And he got a round of applause from the CEOs in the audience who were there to hear Bloomberg.
Even though I don't like some of the things that he says, because I think it turns people off, and I just don't think they're funny, but I don't think it's necessary, because again, I think that's enough for some people to say, I just simply can't vote for him. So part of me,
real.
It is real. And again, that's what some other people like, that the authenticity of him. So you kind of have both sides of the coin there, but he's not wrong that he has been through what I would say no other president or candidate has ever gone through.
Yes. Yeah, it's true. He's got his own way of dealing with it, for sure. But it's kind of changed the paradigm. I don't want practice politicians anymore. It's not what I want to listen to. I just don't. All right, coming up, we'll get to our friend Genevieve Wood, senior advisor with Heritage, to talk more about this teacher that got fired for refusing to use personal pronouns. We'll be back in just a minute.
Look, I've been in this race 70 days. Some people are just getting to know me. Yeah. Other people have known me. Mm-hmm. And I owe it. Listen, I feel very strongly I need to earn every vote, which is why I'm here having this candid conversation with you and your listeners. Mm-hmm. I have to earn people's support, and I am working to do that.
The stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas.
Genevieve Wood from the Heritage Foundation is joining us right now. And Genevieve, welcome in. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Kim.
I had to play that soundbite because that was her response to Charlemagne the God, as he refers to himself, yesterday when he said, you know, you get accused a lot of sticking to your talking points, that people can't get you off your talking points. That was her explanation for it. People have only known me for 70 days, and I need to repeat myself over and over again. That's her excuse.
Well, if the talking points were better, it might work.
Yeah, maybe. The problem
is they're bad talking points to start with. I mean, the problem is she doesn't really want people to know the real policies of the Kamala Harris administration.
Yeah.
She doesn't want people to know that, because if they did, that's why she wants to talk about she's from a middle class, you know, all this stuff. It's because she doesn't want to talk about her policy plans. Because I don't think she really knows what they are, to be honest with you. I really don't think she could dig down in the details if she was forced to. But even if she could, she doesn't want to, because it's not going to produce the things that she's, this opportunity economy she's talking about. Her plans are not going to produce that for anybody.
Yeah, I think that's she has no idea what those plans are anyway. Somebody else has written that for her, from what I can tell. You know, I was watching the Daily Signal, reading it yesterday. I loved this story of this guy who refused to use pronouns and got in trouble for it and turned around and sued them and won, correct?
He did win. You're absolutely right. Yeah, this was a story where this is a French teacher in state of Virginia, not France, to be clear. You read the full story, because if he said, well, he shouldn't just use her pronouns. This is somebody who respect. This is a young girl in his class that decided to transgender to become a male. And he, you know, was not going to use the pronouns. This man is a Christian who lives out his faith. He believes God created man, male and female, and you can't change that. So he called her, but he called her by her preferred name. He just wouldn't call her he. And in one of these situations where they were playing a game in class, I think it was a Halloween game, he said something to the students like, stop her from doing this, like meaning like stop her. They were playing a video game. Stop her from running into that wall, which is just the way you would talk about anybody, right, when you're in the moment. Well, she got very upset because he referred to her as her and complained to her parents, who then complained to the school board. And the next thing you know, because he would not agree to call her by him and so forth, and they suspended him. And this man said, you know what? I don't think it's right to be forced into a corner like that. I'm going to stand my ground. He did. It's taken him 7 years, but he did win his case, and he got back pay and I think attorney fees of over $580,000.
Well, and I know that just going through the court system can take a long time, but it's crazy too. It took nearly 6 years for this case to be resolved for him to have gotten that back pay.
That's true. It's crazy. And a lot of people say, gosh, would I have the courage or the time or the ability to do that? But when you can, standing up like this makes such a difference for other people. And probably some of what helped him is the laws in Virginia have now changed, because Governor Youngkin came in and said to schools, you can't be the pronoun police, and you can't get rid of the First Amendment, and you can't get rid of the, you know, freedom of religion, freedom of expression, and you can't force people to say things that aren't true. And so therefore schools are more normal in Virginia these days. But one reason Governor Youngkin is the governor of Virginia, one reason the laws there have changed, are because people like this man, parents that were in Loudoun County and these other places in Virginia back in COVID, they stood up to the woke bureaucrats that were trying to brainwash kids. Yeah. And said enough is enough. And that's the reason you have a different governor now, and it's the reason you're having different laws. So it makes a huge difference for the larger public when you can stand your ground.
It does. Genevieve, I was watching the David Harsanyi piece yesterday in the Daily Signal, reading it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm laughing about this because yesterday Kamala Harris announced a big giveaway program specifically for black men. Like, she's going to give away money to them just because of the color of your skin. And I'm thinking to myself, Mitt Romney got in a lot of trouble for once saying 47% of the people are going to vote for the president because they're dependent on the government. And he took all kinds of heat for that, but he's absolutely right.
And it's worse, I'm sure, today. That was in 2012.
Right.
I'm sure the number has gone up. I mean, the number of people who pay federal income taxes, people have no idea, but like less than half the country does. That's just a reality. I mean, 6% of wage earners pay for, I think, 55% or something of taxes. So it's, or even higher. So it's like, come on, guys. The idea that you're going to say, well, we just need to, you already have a lot of people not paying taxes. They pay local taxes. They pay taxes, sales taxes, but they don't pay federal income taxes. And so whenever she says, we're just going to take more money from the rich and give it to this group or this group or this group, I mean, eventually you run out of rich people, or as Margaret Thatcher used to say, eventually you run out of other people's money. Yeah. And there just isn't enough of it to keep creating these programs. And basically what she's trying to do, which is what Mitt Romney referred to, she's trying to buy votes. She's like, I'm going to take these tax dollars and give it to you group of people if you will vote for
that's
me.
That's right.
And that's buying votes. That's exactly what it is.
And it's why we're in the mess we're in today, and both parties have let them get away with it for far too long.
Both sides.
That's true. Genevieve, thank you as always. Great having you on.
Thank you, guys. Have a good Wednesday.
We'll talk soon. Genevieve Wood, Senior Advisor at the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. Coming up, Todd Patrick Pyro, news anchor extraordinaire up there at Fox. Wonder what he said to his buddy Brett Baer about the questions for Kamala in the big interview tonight. We'll get to that up next.
5 and 5:30. It's a quick turnaround. So I started out by saying we plan to run it, you know, uninterrupted, but I had to check with the business people to make sure that we didn't have any commercials in there and we didn't have to cut it in half or something. But for everybody who's been asking, it is as live. In other words, we roll the tape, but it's running just as we do it. So from beginning to end, you'll see every second. And it will be unedited, and we will run it without commercial straight through the first half hour of my show.
Well, he likely just finished writing the questions Brett Baer will ask Kamala Harris tonight. It is Todd Pyro.
Yeah, I'm just ordering them. I mean, I wrote them all.
Are they from Wikipedia, Todd?
Don't worry about it. Don't you ask those questions. Keep saying it. Come on.
Well, Kamala, she's very familiar with Wikipedia.
For her book?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
By the way, if I sound like I smoked a pack of Chesterfields, it's because yesterday we had the Tunnel to Towers golf tournament.
Oh.
And I golfed with an amazing foursome out of the Midwest there, Detroit, Michigan area, you know, a little bit north of you fine folks there in St. Louis. And I had this cigar that it was really windy, so it kept blowing out. So I literally nursed this cigar over the course of 3 freaking hours. But I, long story short, I smoked a cigar, and that's why I sound like this today.
It's the taste that keeps on giving, isn't it?
Oh, it really is. Like right now, I'm going to go home. I thought I'd be clear of it after sleeping it off for like 4 hours and brushing my teeth and eating and drinking. Nope, I'm going to go home. My wife's going to be like, you're done.
What have you done?
You're out. But yeah, so we got the big interview today. And, you know, look, am I surprised that she ultimately caved? I am. I think this is a sign that I don't want to use the word desperation. I think this is a sign that they know that they need to reach those disaffected Republicans and the Democrats and the disaffected Democrats that watch our air. Because if you look at our numbers, everybody's like, oh, they're right wing. They only have, you know, far right wing. No, that's actually not the case. We overperform. We over index, as the phrase is referred to, mm-hmm. with Democrats and independents. So if you want to reach those voters, do it. Her campaign people that write the checks know that. That's why you see a lot of Kamala Harris commercials on Fox News, because they're trying to reach the voters that way. And at the same time, it actually works when you use that word democracy, because it is forcing Kamala to come back to the center after, you know, a time where she was the furthest left senator in the entire Senate. More so than Bernie Sanders. Now, you can say, well, she's just BSing to try to win the election, and there's certainly an argument for that. But, you know, we're at the campaign stage, so let's hear what they have to say on the trail.
Yeah. What do you, I don't know, what if let's say it was Todd Pyro doing the interview and not Brett Baer. What would your first question be to her?
Afghanistan.
Really?
100%.
Because she owned it, right? She said, I was the last one in the room.
Right. Yeah. And I need to understand why they think everything that has happened is a success. Second, border. I need to understand why they think everything that has happened is a success. The economy, I actually wouldn't necessarily ask about the current economy. I would ask her, what is her plan to fix it? I want specific steps, because I think that is where she falters the most, and I think she needs to provide an answer. Because let's say you blame Trump for all this stuff, or you blame Biden, or you blame Reagan for all this.
Yeah.
You need to answer the question, how am I going to solve it? And Trump has a plan. A lot of people do not like Trump's plan. And they articulate how much they do not like Trump's plan. But at least he has a plan. And Kamala's plan is just platitudes. You know, when she first came out with it, I think I had this conversation with you. Well, you know, a lot of platitudes in there, but I'm sure we'll get the specifics sooner rather than later. No, we have not yet gotten the specifics. And, you know, look at your calendar, boys. We normally meet on a Tuesday here with you guys on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Yeah.
We're less than 3 weeks because today's Wednesday. So we're less than 3 weeks. People have already voted. Lots of people in Georgia have already voted. You kind of need to give a plan, don't you?
Not that this is a top issue for voters, but I would like to know why she feels it's necessary every question to respond with, I was raised in a middle-class family. Can he just tell her, stop, no one cares?
That is the joke. That is the joke. You know, I think she liked it, and as Kamala Harris is wont to do, she has her crutches. And she rationalizes to Charlemagne the God yesterday by saying, you know, people need to hear things three times before they understand it. That's why she sticks to her talking points. I'll give you that on the talking points. But your stall tactic to get into your answer, which, you know, I recognize because I used to do it. You know, if you had asked me a question when I was in local news in Palm Springs, my crutch was like, obviously, and then I'd go into an answer. Obviously, it was always like my crutch word. And then, like, there were times where I was asked a hard question, and the obviously didn't fit, and I realized how asinine I sounded. I don't think Kamala Harris has had that come to Jesus moment yet, and her people should probably be having it with her. Or maybe they're worried that if they try to, you know, mess with her now, it could really implode for her because she is rather inartful at times, and she gives answers that oftentimes help the Trump campaign.
I have high hopes for this interview. I mean, I've watched Brett over the years. I think he sees the opportunity here to pin her down on some of this stuff and just keep hammering her if she won't answer the question, because she never answers the question. And you know, Emma, you mentioned immigration. I would ask her about the Israel policy. I think there are a lot of Jewish Americans in this country who, if they woke up this morning and read the headlines, what they're reading is the American government has told Israel, you will do what we want or we will withhold military aid from you. You're going to do it. And that is not the attitude this country needs to have toward the state of Israel, who's surrounded by enemies. And I think if Jewish voters need to wake up to that, I think that'd be a great question for her.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with that, but she always has this magical fallback of, well, I'm married to a Jewish man. So when you frame the question in terms of Israel, in terms of the Jewish faith, I think she has a natural out. When you frame it within the context of 13 dead Americans and now terrorists coming to our country that want to do us harm,
right,
because of that rollout, I think that one resonates with more Americans, and it doesn't really give an out. Why did you guys not set the foundation so that when we brought people over from Afghanistan in a nice, orderly fashion, that they could be vetted? Like, none of that happened because Joe Biden's like, I want to hit this by September 11th. So we have a good anniversary day. And, you know, it was a disaster.
Yeah. I just think it's funny because, you know, there was so much pressure on her, understandably, to do these interviews. And now she's, of course, Fox. I've heard she might even go on Joe Rogan's podcast. But the more she talks, it seems like she's going down in the polls. The latest polls have her down 4 to 5 points since September. And that's really when she started ramping up these interviews.
And that cannot be overstated. Yeah. She is going out. We need to open your mouth. We got to hear.
No, don't open your mouth.
I think the basement strategy worked for Biden. And I said at the time, like, I think she's going to stick to it. I've actually been a little shocked that she's been opening up a little. But to your point, it's gone the other way. And so I don't think she can unring the bell now. She's kind of like, she has to throw good money after bad to see what happens. And that's almost what this is. And I don't want to use the word Hail Mary, even though I use it on air, just because I used it once today. So this is a last ditch effort. How about we go with that?
Let's do it. Todd, thanks for accommodating us on a different day because of your big golf tournament yesterday, but go get a throat lozenge or something.
Yeah, I know. We raised a lot of money for a lot of people that need it, so that's what's great. Important.
Good for you, brother. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
All right. See you. Todd Pyro, Fox and Friends first there. Good to get his take on it. And clearly that's why he's the network news anchor there. He knows what questions to ask.
That's right.
It's going to be must-watch TV tonight, no doubt about it. And we'll talk about it tomorrow, right? What are we talking about on Kim on a Whim here in a minute?
Well, there's a Massachusetts man. He's a big fan of Donald Trump, and he wants the whole town to know it. The town says, you can't do it that way. And now they're fining him $100 a day until he stops.
Let's get a GoFundMe page. I bet there already is one. I'm guessing. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
There's a guy in this town called Hanson, which is in Massachusetts, and he's a big fan of Donald Trump, and he wants everyone in the area to know he's a fan of Trump. So what he decided to do was he projected a Trump 2024 sign on the side of a municipal water tower. The city, of course, found out about it and says, whoa, you can't do that. You can't endorse these candidates or put a sign up like that.
They said they were afraid that people would think the city was endorsing him. Right.
So they sent a cease and desist letter to the property owner, and they're also now fining him $100 a day until he removes it. Listen to why.
Hanson officials say displaying this image violates the town's bylaws and misleads the public to believe this activity is condoned. They do not allow any political endorsements on municipal property, but they do respect free speech rights of all residents.
Here's what's funny. What they did was they sent employees out to position a spotlight to shine on the tower at night so that you can't see the Trump 2024 being projected on the side of the tower.
It's a white tower.
Yes.
Water tower.
Yes.
Plain white.
Yes.
And apparently it's close enough to his backyard that he was able to set up a projector to reflect the Trump 2024 sign up onto it.
Correct.
Yeah.
What's also funny about this is officials there in the town, again, this is Hanson, Massachusetts, they're saying this is going to use taxpayer dollars. It's going to be a significant amount of money just to go toward attorney's fees. You have to pay the overtime workers, or pay the workers overtime, rather, because they have to go turn on and off the spotlight.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yes. They even had to rent, I guess, equipment that was strong enough to be able to, you know, outshine, basically, the Trump 2024 that was being projected on there. So they're saying that's why the $100 per day fine is absolutely necessary to pay for all of that overtime.
My guess is if it was a Harris sign, nobody would have said anything. What do you think?
I wonder. I mean, with it being Massachusetts, like, think if that were to happen here. Let's just say that were happening in St. Charles somewhere, St. Charles County. Would there be the same reaction?
I don't know. I mean, it's not defacing public property.
It's not his, though.
But it doesn't belong to him, what he's reflecting.
Right, and that is their argument. So yeah. I do understand their argument. Now, the length that they're going, paying workers overtime to... Joe, it's your turn to turn off the spotlight. I turned it off last night.
My guess is the guy's willing to pay the fine. But in the meantime, I did see a clip of this the other day, and the bright lights that they put on the tower were bright enough that his image wouldn't show up there anymore.
Yeah.
So maybe he's just going to wait him out. Is he going to make him put in the effort every day? Like, if you can't see what he's doing, how can they say you get fined that day? Like, that would be my argument. Okay, you've outsmarted me. Now you can't see it anymore, so you can't find me.
No, that's not it, because they're saying that they're having to pay these employees overtime to go every day. They have to turn off and on the spotlight. Now, in 2024, I don't know why we wouldn't have the technology that could turn it off and on its own, but they're making it seem like somebody every single morning and night has to go out there and flip the switch on and off. And the attorney's fees that they're involved in this case. So that's what the money is going towards. So it's really a moot point, I guess, right now, whether or not you can see Trump 2024 on the water tower.
Yeah. Is there a GoFundMe page yet? Because my guess is this guy has got some supporters who are throwing money at him right now to help pay the fine.
I hope this guy's loaded and can pay himself, because I'm trying to think how many days are left before the election. 20 some odd days.
Yeah. I mean, that's about it. I don't see anything here as to whether or not there's a GoFundMe page. My guess is people are going to be more than willing to help the guy.
I mean, if he could pay, so let's just say it's like 23 days. So $2,300 is what he'd have to pay to make the city have to go out there every single day and turn off and on this spotlight.
Maybe it's worth it to him. I don't know. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to Nicole Neely. She is president of Parents Defending Education, and they have just filed a civil rights complaint against the Kirkwood District for racial discrimination. Plus, Charles Payne of Fox Business at 8:35.
Get more at 971talk.com.